Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. The multiple bombings, maybe as many as 14, in Baghdad today had all the hallmarks of al-Qaeda in Iraq. But do they signal a new sectarian bloodbath like the one in 2006 that many analysts flat out call a civil war? The minority Sunni population ruled this region for hundreds of years until Saddam Hussein was toppled. Then the majority Shia joined Sunnis in a fragile coalition government. But just this week, Prime Minister al-Maliki, a Shiite, issued an arrest warrant for the Sunni vice president, Tariq al-Hashemi, accusing him of running a hit squad during that conflict in 2006. NPR's Sean Carberry is in Baghdad. And Sean, most analysts are saying that these bombings would have had to be planned well before that arrest warrant. But are they thought to be more likely in response to the U.S. troops leaving on Sunday?
It's mostly speculation on that, whether this is a direct reaction to the troops leaving or just taking advantage of convenient timing. Some people argue that if people wanted to stoke sectarian tensions, this was a great time to do it. But as you pointed out, most likely something on this scale, with this many explosions happening within a short period of time, it had to have been something planned ahead of time. No one's clear at this point what the ultimate motivation was behind these attacks.
And of course, we always feel we need to point out that U.S. troops had no choice but to leave. They were essentially kicked out and not granted immunity if they stayed, just because there's a lot of political hay being made of that. But I know you were at the site of one of the bombs. What's it look and feel like there?
Well, this was the bombing at the anti-corruption office in the Karada neighborhood. It was the largest bomb that went off today, and one that was actually a suicide car bomb. Someone drove in, reportedly an ambulance, and then blew it up outside the building. Large number of people killed there. The scene, many hours later, the building was still smoldering. Security forces had the area blocked off, wouldn't allow us to get close to the building, but could still see smoke coming up, bulldozers clearing out debris from the explosion. And within that neighborhood, shopkeepers were replacing the glass in their windows for about a four-block radius. There was just shattered glass all over the neighborhood.
What are people saying, Sean?
It's a range of responses. There are typical responses claiming that there are foreign powers behind this who are intervening, who are trying to destabilize the country. Politicians from the various blocs are issuing statements. Those who are in the Iraqiya bloc, what's considered the Sunni-backed opposition bloc in the government, a number of people have said that they blame Prime Minister Maliki specifically and say that he is not able to deliver security. This is a common message that's heard after large incidents in the country. People within the Maliki camp are saying again that there are insurgents, Baathists, others who are looking to undermine the government, destabilize. So you're hearing a lot of the typical narrative that you hear in this rather divided sectarian system at the moment, especially given the political crisis that's happening right now. Tensions are very high, accusations are sharp, and people certainly looking to exploit this type of incident for political purposes.
And Sean, is it as simple as saying, al-Qaeda in Iraq is a largely Sunni extremist group? As we said, Sunnis were in power and now are sharing power. Most of these bombings, we understand, were in Shiite neighborhoods. Most of them were. Some weren't, but most were. Is it as simple as saying that Sunnis are unhappy with sharing power?
Well, actually, it sounds like both sides are unhappy with sharing power. Certainly the Sunnis have not been happy living under a Shiite majority government since the fall of the Saddam regime. But yesterday in his press conference, Prime Minister Maliki repeatedly made comments about frustration with a unity government. And he repeatedly indicated that he was interested in pursuing a majority government, in which case you wouldn't even have any of the Sunni opposition in some of the positions of power they have right now. So that could even further inflame tensions. And one of the concerns that Maliki himself is looking to divide things even further on sectarian lines, and that's obviously not going to sit well with Sunnis who are not happy with things as they are.
Well, we mentioned the crisis of Prime Minister Maliki issuing the arrest warrant for the vice president, Hashemi. who then fled to the Kurdish region, denying any of the charges against him. The prime minister saying he wants him to come back to face trial. So is this some sort of a constitutional crisis if the Kurds, you know, won't in effect cough up the vice president for the prime minister?
Well, there's certainly constitutional underpinnings, but it's still more directly a political crisis. And the issue is that Hashemi doesn't believe he can get a fair trial and has appealed to the Kurds to intervene in the situation. They have offered to hold a trial there where people believe it might be a little bit more fair. Maliki has said, no way, has to come back to Baghdad. Constitutionally, Maliki is correct, and it's just a question of how is this going to play out if the Kurds and Hashemi refuse to accede to the warrant and stand trial in Baghdad.
NPR's Sean Carberry in Baghdad after today's spate of bombs. Sean, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Robin.
And by the way, you are a colleague of ours here at our home station. Just want to wish you a happy holiday and be safe.
Thanks. You too.